Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
If that was awful for you, welcome to the 90s. If you loved it, then maybe you like the 90s. What we've learned in this series, though, is that it is fun to look back and to visit the past, but it is incredibly dangerous to live in the past. And according to some leading psychologists, one of the most dangerous addictions and leading addictions in America today is living in the past. It is something that affects so many of us. And on this day, we're ending our series, but I want to just look back quickly to see where we've come from. On week one, we talked about you will miss your future by living in your past. You will miss your future by living in your past. When you live in your past, specifically when it comes from shame and from hurt and things that you've done wrong or things that were done wrong to you, you will miss the future that God has for you. It's what we talked about week one in this series. Week two, we talked about what is the process to getting to the, Actually, I skipped over that. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying was week two. If you're not growing, you're dying. And what we talked about last week is that in any area of your life, if you're not continually progressing and improving yourself, then you are going to be passed by the future and you are dying, specifically in your spiritual life, that if you are not sharpening your faith and growing in your faith eventually is dying and the future will pass over and you'll be stuck in the past. And now I want to get to today, because today I want us to answer a question. It's the last week of this series, and so I want us all to know, how do we get to the future, specifically when it comes to our faith and a faith in God? How do we get to the future? What is the process to getting to the future? That's the question we're going to answer today. And I hope there'll be some practical nuggets that you can take in any area of your life, but specifically what we're looking for is, how do we get to the process when it comes to our faith in God? What are the steps that we can take to get to the future so that we don't get passed by? Our text for the day is going to answer this question. Our text is it's written almost 2,000 years ago. It's written by a guy by the name of Paul, and Paul was a major player in the New Testament, and he is really important to us because you would not be here today if it were not for Paul. Before Paul, Christianity was a sect of Judaism. It was a small, minor, just kind of almost seen as an occult because it was such a few group of people. Paul is the one that took the message of Christianity because Jesus sent him to go around the world and start telling people about Jesus. And his influence impacted people that ended up impacting the world. And this impact was so big that it went from being persecuted in Rome to becoming the national religion of Rome. And when it became the national religion of Rome, that's when Christianity really took off. And so all of us that are here today owe it to the work that Paul did in spreading the gospel around the world. And Paul wrote a letter to the church in Colossae. And if you're not familiar with his letters, over half of the New Testament is written by Paul, and most of the letters in the New Testament were written by him. It's him writing to specific people in specific time periods. And Colossae, it was not an important area. In fact, it was like a minor little blip on the map. No one really cared about Colossae. Its time had passed. It wasn't a significant area. What makes this letter significant, though, is that Paul did not start the church in Colossae. It was started by a guy by the name of Epaphras, and Epaphras became a Christian when he was in Ephesus, most people believe, when he was in Ephesus through the ministry of Paul. Now, this is something that is really, really cool, hopefully for you guys. A lot of times in the Christian faith, when we see big-name people or these pastors or big-time people doing things for God, we think, oh, yeah, that's just what they're supposed to do. But Epaphras was just an everyday, average guy who was impacted by the message of Jesus, and he saw a need that some people needed to hear about Jesus, and he went there and met that need in Colossae. So he starts this church, and we don't know anything else about this guy except for he started the church in Colossae. Now, something happens to the church in Colossae. There are some heretics that are giving the church in Colossae a hard time, and it all of a sudden becomes bigger than Epaphras' pay grade. He becomes overwhelmed with what's happening in this church and the persecution and the things that are happening. And so he travels to Rome to hang out with Paul and to get some wisdom. And Paul is sitting in a Roman prison simply for being a Christian. And he meets with Paul, and after he meets with him, Paul pens the letter that we call Colossians, and we have a copy of it. And I'm going to read to you a section of Colossians because it is the process to how to get to the future. It is in this text. So if you'll follow along with me, you can follow along in YouVersion, or it's going to come up on the screens. We're going to dive into Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, so what is Paul talking about? Well, Paul is setting up the process. And the only way that you're going to get on board with this process is if you are a Christian. If you're here today and you're checking things out or you're not sure about your faith, this is a great week for you just to take a time out and chill. We're not going to talk about you. We're not even going to talk to you. You can just kind of hang out and see what this freak show is about. But if you're here today and you're a Christian, this is Paul writing to you. And specifically, what Paul is saying is he's saying, if you're here today and you're a Christian, there are certain actions and there are certain attitudes that do not represent Jesus well. And there are certain times in our life where we have to force ourselves to stop thinking about ourselves and put our attention on something bigger than ourselves, which is God. Now, this is not easy to do. Paul doesn't say, hey, it's going to be a walk in the park for you. It's going to be like eating cake. Paul does not just pretend that this is going to be something simple, but it is something that if you're a Christian, you are called to do. My wife and I are currently in our fifth week of living with my parents, and we brought our twins, four-year-old twins, to my parents' house, and we're there because our dishwasher rebelled against us and tried to flood our house, and so we have been trying to put it back together, and while we're waiting for all sorts of stuff, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And one of the things, though, that I'm incredibly encouraged by is my wife's attitude during this time. It would be very easy when you are living with your in-laws to go negative, and it would be very easy when your house is falling apart to go negative, but I love when I hear my wife talk about what is going on, she stays incredibly positive. Why? Because even though it's frustrating to go through something right now, as a Christian, right now is not our whole story. Right now is not everything that we focus on. That there is something later that we can look forward to. And no matter what your right now is right now, you can live for something bigger than your current circumstances. And so we've had to reframe our thoughts. Instead of complaining and whining and saying, oh, woe is me, why is this happening to us? This is so bad. We've had to be thankful for the season that we're in. And so we spin it. And instead of saying, this is just the worst thing ever, why is this happening? We're saying, man, it's like a vacation. We're going to someone else's house and they have cable. We don't have cable at our house. Like, this is incredible. And my parents eat out, and so oftentimes they feel sorry for us, and they say, hey, will you join us? And they pay for our meals, and like, it's been an incredible experience. Is it ideal? No. But in non-ideal circumstances, a Christian is someone that has something to look forward to, and that is your relationship with God. And so Paul says, take your eyes off of what you see now, off your circumstances, and put it on something higher. And this is so important because he's about to give us the process of how we can get to our future. Now this, I want you to pay careful attention to. I love this quote by Andy Stanley. He says, while nobody plans to mess up his life, the problem is that few of us plan not to. While nobody plans to mess up his life, the problem is that few of us plan not to. So often in life, we don't like to plan. Some of you are type A personalities and you plan everything. You plan when you're gonna sneeze. Like everything is just planned. But for the rest of us, we just kind of like take life as it is. We just kind of, you know, when something happens, we react to it. But Paul is about to give us a plan, and if we don't implement this plan, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And I love the quote from Andy Stanley, because no one in this room plans on messing up their life. No one says, today's the day that I'm going to mess up things. Today's the day I'm going to mess up this relationship. Today's the day I'm going to mess up my integrity. Today's the day I'm going to mess up at my job. Today's the day I'm going to mess up relationally. No one says that. But probably very few of us have a plan to help us not destroy our lives. And Paul is about to give us a plan. Look at what he says in Colossians 3, 5 through 11. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. There are certain looks that are just not good on you. Sometimes this is hard to admit, but there are certain things when it comes to fashion, they're just not, there are certain body types that cannot support certain things that are fashionable. Like just by the very name of skinny jeans, there is a weight limit that makes you no longer able to wear skinny jeans. I don't know what that weight limit is, I just know I've gone past it, so I don't wear skinny jeans. There are certain things that maybe everyone else is wearing, but you have to be honest with yourself and say, based off my body type, based off my age, based off how I want to represent myself, even if everyone is wearing this stuff, I've got to resist it and wear something that is a better look on me. And Paul is saying that if you're here today and you are a Christian, then you have this battle within you, that there is your old self, your natural self, and your natural self gives in to things that are not a good look on you now that you are a Christian. And he lists some things that are just awful looks for Christians. Some things like, he says, you need to get rid of, put to death things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. And if that doesn't step on your toes, Paul says, I don't care, I'm going to give you another list. He says, get rid of these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other. So here is a list, and this is not an exhaustive list, but Paul is starting to just get us to think about that if you are a Christian, there are certain things that just don't look good on you. The problem is these things are natural for us. And so we naturally, Paul's not saying, hey, listen, if you feel guilty about some of these things, get rid of them, or if you feel bad, or if you don't want to get caught, get rid of these things. Paul is saying, hey, listen, I want to make sure I have your attention. If you're here today and you are a Christian, there are certain things that are just not a good look on you. You've got to get rid of them. You've got to tear them off. And to make his point, Paul ends this section by saying, in this room, there are no classes of people. And he lists some specific classes of people that today, they don't relate to us. We don't think about barbarians, and we don't even know what a Cintharian is. And we don't know what these categories are. But if Paul was writing the letter to Next Level Church, he would say, when you come in this room, there are no Republicans, there are no Democrats, there are no liberals, there are no conservatives, there are no white people, there are no black people, there are no Hispanics, there are no Americans. When you come into the church, it is Christ is all. And that is what your total focus should be in this life. And so when you walk places and when you get into things that you're passionate about, like voting or politics or even sports, you don't take off the hat of Christianity and say, okay, now I'm going to represent this. No, you walk into every area of your life representing Jesus. And the question you've got to ask yourself is this a good look? Now that I'm a Christian and now that I'm representing Jesus, are these things, some of these things that feel natural to me, is this a good look? And Paul gave a list of some things that we've got to fight against, some things that we've got to get rid of because they're just not a good look. No matter how natural and no matter how much you like things like lust or greed or sexual immorality, for a Christian, we've got to fight against these things. And I want to just show you once again what Paul says, because he starts off this section by saying put to death. So let me just paint this picture to you. In fashion, there are certain things that kind of come full circle. You know, they die with a decade and then they come back, and like you may not have cleaned out your closet, and so you're like, wow, I can wear this again. It's 20 years old, but like it's in fashion. And there are certain things in your own nature, there are certain things that are temptations and struggles for you that continually come back in fashion. You will never get rid of completely whatever your triggers are. For some of you, it might be anger, that you're angry and you don't know why you're angry. Paul says you got to get rid of anger and rage, but specifically, he says you have to put it to death. Now, if you've ever seen a horror movie, in horror movies, the bad guy like never dies. Like they kill him like 18 times before the end of the movie. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen, if you've got some things, you can't be passive aggressive about it. You can't say, you know, man, I kind of struggle with lust and with looking at things on the computer, so I'm just going to kind of push it away and hope it doesn't bother me anymore. Oh, man, you know what? I really struggle with slander and talking bad about people behind their backs, but I'm just going to kind of gently nudge it away. What did Paul say? Paul says you've got to put it to death. That means you take it off, you throw it down, you shoot it, and then you double tap it. Bang, you shoot it again. This thing is going to come back and haunt you. All right, this is not something, this list that he gave you, this is a great look for anyone that's not representing Jesus. If you want to wear these things, go for it. That is up to you. We're not trying to tell you how to live your life. But if you're a Christian, you represent something so much bigger than yourself. And every time you go anywhere, you're representing Jesus. So there's certain characteristics that are just not a good look on Christians. You must recognize what attitudes and actions don't represent Jesus and choose to put them to death. You must recognize what actions and attitudes don't represent Jesus and choose to put them to death. You must recognize. No one's going to do this for you. And in fact, if someone does it for you, you'll say things like, stop judging me. Now, this is how I feel. Whenever I put on a shirt and my wife gives me this look, like that's about 10 years too old, I have this thought, like, why are you judging me? I like this shirt. This shirt is comfy. You don't know me. This thing feels good. But my wife sees something that I don't see, but it's hard for me to respond in the right attitude because I'm too close to it. And so what we need to do is we need to look in the mirror at ourselves and say, okay, now that I'm a Christian, there are certain looks that just don't represent Jesus very well. And even though I may like some of these things, even though they might be comfortable and natural to me, I've got to take them off because they're part of my past. They're a part of who I used to be. And there is no future when I give into these things. I've got to fight against them. Why? Because Jesus is my future, and I've got to be aimed, towards him. So Paul tells us some things that we got to take off. But I love it that he doesn't just leave it there, and he doesn't just leave it in the negative. He gives us some things that we should put on. And look at what Paul says next. He says, in verses 12 through 14 of chapter 3, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, what's that next word?
Clothed.
Clothed. Two of you got it. We're gonna try that again. The word we're looking for is clothed. One, two, three.
Clothed.
Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you've ever watched an award ceremony in Hollywood or like in a music award show, and all these famous celebrities, they get dressed up and they roll out this red carpet. And before the award show starts, they walk out on it, and these reporters will stick a microphone in their face, and they always ask him, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? And then they spout off these names that I've never heard of, and I'll never be able to buy their clothes because they don't sell it at the Gap. So I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about. I'm sure they're really nice. I'm sure that person that designed that dress, it's incredible. I'm sure it costs more than my house. I'm sure it's amazing. I don't really care who, I don't care. But they always ask them, who are you wearing? So let's make this incredibly practical. Paul has now given us a list of some things that don't look good on Christians, and then he gave us a list of things that do look good on Christians. And just like every single day you get up and you choose which outfit to put on, as a Christian, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I am choosing what outfit I am wearing. And there are certain outfits that you've got to say, even though this feels natural and this feels comfortable, this isn't a good look on me. So what do you need to do? You've got to check the tag. So I have here some clothes. These are all in my closet, a part of my closet at home. And these are some things. And just like when you get up in the morning, you go and you pick out an outfit. And how do you pick out your outfit for the day? You pick out your outfit based off where you're going and how you want to represent yourself. If you have a funeral, I'm just throwing this out there for free, it is probably not good to wear yoga pants to the funeral. I'm just throwing it out there, okay? If you have a job interview, it is probably not good to show up in your PJs. I'm just throwing it out there for free, okay? If you're going to the gym, it's probably not good to show up in jeans and a polo. Like, you should wear gym attire. You get what I'm saying? Literally, I used to go to the YMCA at 5 a.m., and every morning there was a guy who would get on the treadmill in front of me, and he would wear jeans, he would wear, like, the boat shoes, and he would wear a polo, and he would get it on the treadmill, and he's just, like, dripping sweat, and everything in me was like, I just want to buy this guy a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Like, he is wearing the wrong attire to the event. And so every day you choose what to wear. You go to your closet, you pick things out. You've got to do the same thing in every relationship and in every attitude that you have. So you pick out something, you say, okay, I love this look. This is a great look. This is comfy. I've had it for a long time. This reminds me of Zach Morris. This is a good look. You got to check the tag. Okay, the tag says lust. Okay, so no matter how comfortable this might make me, Paul says you got to kill it. Double tap it, triple tap it. You got to get rid of it. So you're going through your closet, you're going through your day. You've got, oh man, it's starting to get cold out. This will keep me warm. This is a bomber jacket from about 1993. Still smells like leather. Still fits. This is so comfy. When it's cold, when I'm feeling cold outside, I just need my warm jacket. But when I check the tag, it says greed. So I look and I say, okay, that's not a good look. That's gone out of fashion. This is no longer a good look on me because I've progressed because now I'm a Christian. I got to get rid of that. You go through your closet, you look, you say, okay, now this will never go out of style. Right? I mean, you can wear this. You can wear this. You can wear it to the mall. You can wear it to Walmart. And look, it comes with its own bag. Like, this is styling. And in the early 90s, this was versatile. A girl or a boy could wear this, and no one would think twice. Like, hyper colors were pretty in the early 90s. So this might be really comfortable, but you got to put this on, and you got to look at the tag, and you got to say, okay, is Jesus on the tag? Oh, Jesus isn't on the tag. Lying is on this tag. So even though it's very natural to stretch out the truth, and it's natural to not be honest, lying's on the tag, and I'm a Christian, so I can't wear that. In the early 90s, not a lot of people worked on farms, but a lot of people wore overalls. And the style was to leave one of these open and the flap would come down. Like, AKA New Kids on the Block did this in the 90s with Step by Step. They would wear these overalls. So these were pretty popular, and I'm sure they'll come back around at some point. And we'll all be scratching our heads and saying, why? Like, that is so ridiculous. Why are you doing that? But if this is in your closet and you're saying, okay, look, I'm cool, I'm hip, I'm going to be like the kids who are wearing this again, you got to check the tag. Does the tag say Jesus? Well, the tag doesn't say Jesus. You got to take it off. And so the tag, oh, it says greed. It says, I've been collecting a lot of things for myself. I view my money as my own. I view my stuff as my own. I know there's a lot of needs out there. I know I could help people, but I would rather spend everything on myself. This is real comfy. This is a lot easier. But Jesus would say, this is not a good look on you. You got to get rid of that. So you go to your closet and then you pull out something. You say, okay, now this is comfy. It says Jesus. Let me just check the tag. Is this something that represents Jesus? Oh, the tag says humility. Well, humility is a really good look on Christians. So this is something I should wear. And what is humility? Well, humility is simply that you're going to think of other people above yourself. It's not saying, woe is me, I'm an awful person. It's not insecurity. Humility is simply acknowledging, yes, you have some gifts, yes, you're great at some things, but you're going to put other people ahead of yourself. That's a great look on a Christian. So you say, this is a good look. I'm going to keep this in my closet. You just go through the different looks, and you try them on, and there are times when you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, this look, no matter how comfortable it is, no matter how great it makes me feel, if it is not representing Jesus, then Paul says, you have to take it off, and you have to kill it. No one's going to do it for you. And if they tried, you would resent them. You would get angry. Don't we get defensive when someone says, I'll tell you, when I get the most offensive is when someone tries to tell me a Bible verse when I know I'm not acting very Christian. I'm like, keep your Bible verse to yourself. I don't want to hear that right now. I want to be mad. I want to be angry. Don't quote the Bible at me. I know the Bible. Can I just be happy in my sin for a few minutes? No, you've got to be honest with yourself and look yourself in the mirror and say, right now in this moment, is this attitude and is this action representing Jesus? And if it's not representing Jesus, I don't care how comfortable it is, you've got to take it off and get rid of it. What is the process to getting to the future? Well, Paul would say that the process to getting to the future is simply radical obedience. If you want to get to the future, the process is simply radical obedience. Here's what I find so often with people that I talk to that say they want help. So often when someone says they want help and you give them an answer or a potential answer, instead of saying, okay, this is ruining my life, I'm going to completely get rid of it, they say, yeah, I know what you're telling me. I know I should get rid of this. I know this is not good. I know I came to you because this is hurting me and it's destroying so many of my relationships, but you just don't know how comfortable this is. And so often, it's a black and white situation. If this is killing you, you can't kind of hold on to this in your closet and hope it's going to come back in fashion one day. You've got to get rid of this completely. And radical obedience is the only way to progress yourself to the next level. Now, what I love about what Paul did here is in the verse, he gives some room, some room for us to fail. He knows that not all of us are going to be perfect. In fact, he knows none of us are going to be perfect. And Paul says, when someone that you know stumbles and falls and hurts you, then you are to put on something. You are to put on forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a good look on Christians. And why is forgiveness a good look on Christians? Because Jesus forgave you of your sin. So there are times in our life where we forget who we're wearing. And we wear things like anger and lust and malice, and we wear things and we get caught up in the flesh and it feels so natural. We don't even have to work at it. It just comes out. And in those moments, we have to be quick to say, I'm sorry. I blew it. Hey, honey, you know when I was working in the kitchen and you came in and I fussed at you, that was not Christ-like. And I know it's natural for me to get angry, but I just want to tell you I'm really sorry. And coworker who we've been feuding and fighting, and I just want to come to you and just say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There are times in our life where we have to admit that the problem is us, and radical obedience is forgiving people and forgiving yourself when you've wronged. And so I love that he puts this in there. And then he says what ties it all together, what ties everything in your closet together is love. That ultimately, even when you fail, even when you fail miserably, you are covered in the love of God. And if there are some of you here and you've got your closet and it's filled with a lot of old stuff, God doesn't love you when you clear this stuff out. And he doesn't love you more when you get rid of things and when you keep some good things in. It's not like God looks at your closet and says, okay, now I love you. God loves you no matter what's in your closet. But God wants to get you to the future. And there are certain things that are tripping you up over and over and over again. And Paul would say, that's your fashion. That's the things you've been wearing. That's your old life. That's your past. And you've got to move from your past to your future. And how do you do that? Radical obedience. You can't tiptoe around it. You can't pretend to have it both ways. You got to take off things that are not representing Jesus and put on things that are representing Jesus. This isn't easy to do at all, and I acknowledge that. I want to tell you, though, how you can make it a little bit easier on yourself. If you want to have radical obedience, and there's some things you need to clean out of your closet, the only way I know how to do it is to spend time with other people who are also trying to do the exact same thing. There is something inside of us that responds to peer pressure. And if everybody is wearing bell bottoms, you go out and you buy bell bottoms. It's just what happened in the 70s. Thank God it's over. Don't let that one come back. But isn't that how fashion works? There are certain things you see one person wear it and you say, oh, that looks so silly. I'll never wear that. And all of a sudden you see 10 people wearing it and you're like, oh, I guess I better go get one. We start dressing like other people because we want acceptance. And so if there are things in your closet that are not representing Jesus, you've got to surround yourself with people that are going to influence you to get some things out of your closet. That is the only way I know how to do this. Let me give you a practical example. My wife and I, for the last 2 months, we've been on a diet. It's called Isagenix. And everyone asks me, do we like this diet? The answer is no, okay? I don't like any diet. I like eating pizza. I like eating donuts. That's what I like, okay? I don't like a diet. It is hard to be disciplined. But I do like the results that we're seeing, and I like the results of the discipline from the diet. But I got to tell you, there are times, even though I've tried to clean out my closet of all the bad stuff, there are times when I want to put something back on. And I was eating out about a week ago at a restaurant, and I was with someone for a meeting, And we were walking in, and I was feeling incredibly hungry. I was feeling incredibly stressed, and those two things do not go well for me. And my temptation was, I said to myself, whatever he orders is what I'm going to order. He's skinny. I hope he has a mutant metabolism, and he eats something really bad, because I'm going to just dive in with him. That's what I said as we're waiting in line. And we're standing in line, and he orders a salad. He had no idea that I had this conflict going on inside of me. But because he ordered a salad, guess what I did? I ordered a salad. This same principle works in so many areas of your life. If you want to get somewhere, it's radical obedience. It's saying, I'm not going to, there are things in my life that do not represent Jesus. I got to get rid of them. I got to clean out my closet. But radical obedience is not easy. So you've got to surround yourself with some people that are going to encourage you to do the things that you really want to do. And you've got to surround yourself with some people that have enough fashion sense to say, that's not a good look on you. I know you love that. I know it's comfy, but that is not a good look on you because you are a Christian. So here's the application for this week. This is something you can do. What radical step would help you look more like Jesus? Answer this question. What radical step would help you look more like Jesus? That's the application. I want you to answer it. I don't know what your struggle is. Maybe it was mentioned in Paul's letter. Maybe he said it specifically, and when you heard it, you said, yeah, I got that in my closet. Or maybe it wasn't mentioned, but just in sitting here listening, you just the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, and you're like, yeah, I really do need to work on that. Well, you don't wait to work on it Monday. You don't wait to work on it next week. You don't wait to work on it one day. Radical obedience, you start now, and you've got to find the help that you need. So the question is, what radical step would help you look more like Jesus? Whatever that step is, find some support, find some help, and take it. Clean out your closet. I promise you, you will feel so much more freedom in your Christian walk when you do it. God loves you no matter what you do, but let's not take advantage of his grace. Would you guys pray with me? God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the fact that you do love us and you forgive us. And God, we thank you for grace. And we just ask right now, God, that you would be spurring up inside of us and challenging us, God, a desire to live for you. We ask, God, that you would give us the courage to do whatever you told us to do today, no matter how difficult it is. And we ask, God, that we would be honest with ourselves and just admit that all of us in here are hanging on to some things that just don't represent you. And would you stir our hearts a passion, a desire to live for you that is so much greater than the desire to be selfish and live for ourselves. We thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.